All right, I'm going to begin reading. Ephesians 1, 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Let's take a trip this morning. It might take a bit longer than the time we have available in this service. In fact, it will stretch out on into all of eternity, but it'll be good. It'll be incredible. I remember traveling for hours, winding roads, cool things to look at as we made our way up the mountain, steep cliffs, bubbling streams, trees by the millions with so many different shades of green, wildlife. And then near the top, we pulled over, you know, pulled off on one of those little deals that they have where they make room for people to get out and take a look. And we got out of the car and went to the overlook. And we looked down on where we've come from, and the sight is awesome. A ribbon of road that you've traveled on, streams winding and flowing, little lakes and ponds, snow on some peaks in the distance, massive fields of trees, meadows splashed with wildflowers of brilliant colors. Awesome. It's been some time now since I've gotten to the mountains. And now the summer is gone. Money is tight. Work is constant. Every once in a while, I dream about being up in the mountains. And my dream is always this. I want to break away from base camp and drive up in there way, way, way up there where you really get to see the awesome grandeur and the heights of the mountains. I remember going too with my friend Larry and taking high school kids to Glacier Park. I remember the exhilaration and the exertion, and I suppose I should say the exhaustion of packing high up, of hiking the switchbacks with our bear bells tinkling. We could see on the map that we were moving toward a tunnel high up on the peak, and finally we made it up to Ptarmigan Tunnel, and we looked way down to Lake Elizabeth, where we would camp later on that day after we made our way down that side of the mountain, set up camp down by Lake Elizabeth. If you have lots of money, maybe 50 grand or so to play with, and if you have the time it takes, almost anyone can buy their way into an expedition up to Mount Everest in Nepal. It's not a good idea for just any wealthy person to do that. For the mountain is now scattered with the bodies of people who were in good shape financially, but not physically, and should never have been allowed to get involved in a trek like that. But there's something about wanting to be on top of the world. If not literally on Everest, then in other ways. We all want to, we're hoping to get on top of things. You know, we want to get on top of things. Today, NFL teams will begin their season. Players and millions of fans are dreaming of ending up on top as the season makes its way. Whether it's recreation or travel or our careers or just our sense of how we're doing, we like to be up there somewhere near the top. It seems to me for a number of years now, we've been hearing too of people with lots of big bucks who are beginning to sign up for various kinds of space travel. This really rich multi-millionaire billionaire from England, I think he's got his name in the hopper for that kind of a trip. Listen this morning. You are far more wealthy than you have ever imagined. And you have the opportunity to reach heights that you haven't begun to dream of. Far above Everest, beyond a space station in space, higher than any career or professional heights or goals that you may have in mind, that's what God desires for you and for me and for us. So, Ephesians. Paul begins with a typical greeting and a word of blessing. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read some interesting words in verse 3. And I think of these words kind of like almost like a PR piece, like a logo or a slogan on a pamphlet for our planned journey as we begin considering the kind of life that God wants us to live. So listen to verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So think with me today about what God plans for us as we consider the highest of blessings. Let's consider how it is that we can know and experience and be changed by God's blessing upon us. First of all, let's understand that the highest blessings flow from God. We ought to recognize our limitations in knowing what blessings really are. Well, let me suggest this, that we are like a little child. Many of us are like little children who think that a trip to Toys R Us is just the epitome of, it's as good as things can get. Or we are like little children who thrill at getting on top of two or three sofa cushions, you know, getting way up there, getting out in the backyard and or on the sand pile somewhere, and we just think that's so awesome. And we don't even have an imagination of mountains, of what's out there. You know, when it comes to blessing, I think we're really small-minded in many, many ways. We have little understanding or appreciation of the immensity of the blessings from above. God's blessings are bigger than we grasp. In the first 14 verses of Ephesians, we read about God's will, about God's pleasure, about God's praise. The highest of blessings originate with the perfect, almighty, all-knowing creator of the universe. Verse 4 speaks of God's choices before creation. Verses 5 and 9 speak of God's will. Verse 11 speaks of how everything is worked out in conformity with the purpose of God's will. The business of ultimate blessing comes out of the mind and out of the heart of Almighty God, the Creative One. We read here in Ephesians 1 also of the great pleasure God takes in all of this. Verse 5 in the Message, what pleasure He took in planning this. Verse 9 speaks of the plans he took such delight in making. God's taking great pleasure in planning all of this. But God is getting something out of this. He is taking great pleasure in his plans for blessing. James writes that all good and perfect gifts flow from the Father above. And Paul writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And then secondly, we need to come to realize that the greatest blessings flow from God to people. God's desire is to bless people. He chooses people by his grace. That means that he gives us what we never deserved. He gives us what we've never earned. We could never earn it. And by his grace, he chooses us. Verse 4, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." God takes pleasure in people, and he chooses to bless people. At times I hear myself thinking things like this: the world is so vast, and we are such a teeny tiny little part of it all. In the light of all there is and all that has gone on, does God really care about me? I mean, who do we think we are to be this arrogant and to feel this way? Sometimes I hear myself thinking that way. And then we listen to God. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love, to be his. And then he adopts people into his forever family. Ephesians 1:5, "In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will." God is thrilling at this. Picture God taking great pleasure in adopting us into his forever family. And then God invites those that he has adopted to enter into a life of celebrating his grace, his lofty blessings. Verse 6 says, "To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." So think about celebration for a moment. You're up on the top of the mountain and you've gotten out of the car and you go over to the side and you look down and you got to say to the rest in the family and you might even start talking to the other people who have stopped, "Do you see that? Isn't that incredible? Look at that lake down there. Look at that water. Look at those waterfalls coming down out of the mountains there." But we just want to share the awe and we want to celebrate the blessing and the joy and the goodness and the grandeur of it all. God eternal, he invites us into an eternal celebration of who he is and of what he's done and what he's doing. And it says the party's going to go on for all of eternity. And then in Christ, God saves and sets people free. Verse 7, NIV, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." That's high, high blessing, freedom, forgiveness, acceptance in the family of God. And now as we keep ascending the heights of blessing, try to comprehend that God's plans, that God's greatest blessings involve all of creation. Try to get your mind and your heart and your being around that. The blessings of God are vast and comprehensive in scope, and it's a blessing that he lets us in on, and being let in on that is an incredible blessing in and of itself. Chapter 1, verse 9, "And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ." The grace and the blessing
of Almighty God will touch all of creation. God's saving grace and His highest blessings is extended to all the people of the world. Now I ask you, what does this expansive reach of God's blessing imply? If this begins to soak into us, what does this imply? What does this mean for us? What does it mean for the way we worship? What does it mean for the way we pray? What does this expansive reach of God's high blessing mean for the depth and the height of our hope? What does it mean for international relations? What does it mean for the way we share God's love with other people? We're talking about the blessings of Almighty God that He wants us to have so that we can live life to the maximum. What better could we do for people? I trust that ascending the peaks of blessing will influence our attitudes about learning and about serving in Jesus' church, in Jesus' community, in Jesus' world. There are ways for us to serve and live a blessing as we are His church 24/7. It's wherever we are and whatever we're doing in the places where He has put us. God's highest blessings help us live every day in His love and in His power and in His perfect provision. Listen to verse 4. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight, to be made whole and holy by His love. We are part of something massive and wonderful that the Creator has enjoyed putting together. Life is different as we are more and more in touch with the great reality that Christ has blessed us with the highest and is blessing us with the highest of all blessings. Let's be praying that our Father will help us to see these things that He wants us to know and that He wants us to enjoy as His children.